a number of you know that my father's been very ill and that kind of thing, and you know, occasionally people will hear that kind of thing, and you've had this kind of experience before, and some of you say, well, I'm going to pray for you. If you don't know that person, you know, you might think to yourself, well, that was sweet. That's kind of like saying, I hope everything goes well. You know, yeah, I'm, you know, like, or like non-Christians say, we'll be thinking about you, right? It's kind of like, okay, well, that's nice, I appreciate your thought, but it really doesn't do all that much for me to know that somebody I don't know says they're going to pray for me. Why? Because, well, I don't know what their prayers are like. I don't know whether God really answers their prayers or not. I don't know if they're very faithful in the praying. I don't know anything about this person, so who even cares whether this person's praying for me or not? It doesn't make that much difference to me, okay? That was my problem with Holy Spirit. That was my problem with Holy Spirit praying for me. I didn't know Him. So what good was it that somebody I don't even know what he's like, don't even, you know, hasn't got a clue whether he cares about me at all or not. What difference does it make that he's praying for me? But that wasn't the problem in Romans. Because, you see, Paul could say these words to the Roman Christians because, as he talks about in chapter 14, they had the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they knew the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They experienced Holy Spirit's healing. They experienced Holy Spirit's grace. They experienced His refreshment. They experienced His love and His concern for them. He was like a dear friend to them. He was like somebody they knew. Somebody they knew cared about them and protected them and made sure that they were good and okay. He was their deposit. The experience of Him was their deposit guaranteeing great things to come. And so it meant a lot to them when they heard, it's okay when you suffer because Holy Ghost is praying for you. It's like when the old prayer warrior in the church comes up to you. You know, the woman who's prayed all her life, you know, since her husband died, she's been like praying every second. And every time she prays for anybody, they suddenly get all these miracles start happening in their lives, right? You know those kinds of women? Like you just wish that she'd come by you and say, I'm going to pray for you next week, all week, every day. And when they do, you go, thank you, because I know God listens to your prayer. And you know that when she says she'll pray for you, she really will. If you know a woman, or sometimes a man, it's usually the women, but when you know a woman like that, or occasional man that does that kind of thing, and they tell you, don't worry about this, you'll make it. I'm going to pray for you. It does comfort you. It does give you hope. It does give you life. That was the experience that the people in Rome, the Christians in Rome, had when they heard these words because they knew that kind of reality for the Holy Spirit. Not paying attention to the Holy Spirit robs you of all possible comfort from the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm telling you. You've got to get to the point that you begin to experience His ministry in your life. Not just know it theoretically, but experience it in your life. And when you can do that, then the knowledge that He prays for you can help you make it through the hard times. The knowledge that He's your surety, your guarantee, your deposit, guaranteeing the future for you, can get you through the hard times. Just some sort of practical advice on that, how to experience the Holy Spirit. If I could just say a couple of things to you. One is, let God out of the box that you put Him in. I mentioned this last night, remember, or this morning, remember in John chapter 3, where Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is like the wind. You never know where it's coming from, never know where it's going. Let God out of the box, the genie in the bottle. Okay, there's a popular song that's been around a little while now about that. There's a genie in the bottle God that you've got, that you know exactly what He's going to do, you know exactly how He's going to react, you know just what's going to happen. Let Him out of the box and let Him do something surprising to you. And what I mean by that is, just sort of open your eyes and sort of expect God to do something strange and remarkable, something He's never done for you before. I think that's really where it starts. I know this sounds a little charismatic, but I think that's where it starts. I'm sort of being open to the idea that God might really do something like the wind. And then the second thing I would say to you is this. Stop being scared to acknowledge that it was gone. I know this church is not a typical Presbyterian church, but I know it's a typical evangelical church. And the tendency in most evangelical churches is to explain events as an act of God only as a last resort. You know, people are all the time talking about the Lord did this, the Lord did that. You know, that kind of people. How you tend to shrink away from them, pull back from them as fanatics. Well, let me encourage you to do this. Not just to say, start saying, the Lord did this and the Lord did that. Like when your child makes a good grade this semester, don't just say, way to go, sweetheart. You really worked hard. I'm really proud of you. Instead, give the glory and the honor to the fact that it was the wind doing it. Maybe you will be surprised at the way your child making a good grade, okay? Let it be the wind that did it, rather than good work, kid. But more than that, what I'm trying to say to you is, don't just say the Lord did it. Start attributing it to Holy Ghost. Start recognizing that it was that person of the Trinity that did it. It wasn't just the Father, it wasn't just the Son, to whom you already give enough attention already, okay? It was Holy Spirit. God here with us now. It was this mysterious person of the Trinity whom you can't tie down any more than you can catch the wind. And if you can begin to do those two things, I think, to open yourself up to the possibility that God might do something that He hasn't done before in your life, and secondly, when things happen, go ahead and attribute them to Him and acknowledge Him and honor Him for having done it, Holy Ghost for having done it. I think what you begin to see is that you won't be quenching the Holy Spirit quite as much as you used to, and you can avoid even grieving Him. Then the experience of these blessings that the prophets have given us will begin to mean something to you. Because it'll be like your dear friend putting his arm around you. Just to give you an example of this, what just happened to me this week. I would say my father and I are really not all that close. But something very precious happened this week, as my father was near death several times and terrified. He's a Christian, but you know, most of us, when we finally face that reality, it's going to scare us. Nurses would come in, and they'd be kind of sweet to him, you know, he's an old man, and he's kind of like him, that sort of thing, but it really didn't mean very much to him. And they're like, well, you know, they get paid to do this. You know what really meant something to him? It was when I would do it. It was when I would hold his hand. That's what meant something to him. That's what allowed him, my hard World War II father, okay? He wanted to hold my hand as he was being healed and cured of the surgery. Nobody else's. It's mine. And the comfort that he received from that came from the fact that I was dear to him and he knows me. He knows that I care about him. That's the kind of relationship you have to have with Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can mean anything to you. And for it to help you make it through this dark night that we call life. So you have to let him breathe. And you have to recognize him when he does things. Talked about the Holy Spirit a little bit today. I've got a big baptism in the Holy Ghost today, haven't you? Dunked, in fact. Wayne likes the dunking thing. But you've been immersed in the Holy Ghost today. And my practical advice really does boil down to get the theology, but that won't get you very far until you get the relationship happening, the dynamic, the personal thing happening with Him. And then you'll be encouraged by His presence in your life rather than being left alone. You have 5 minutes. What do you want to pray? This is really off the wall, and he apologizes, but where was Holy Spirit when Christ was here? primarily in him. Yeah. In many respects, yes. It was, you know, he's quoting Psalm 22 when he says those words, right? He's quoting a psalm, and the psalm is a psalm that was written to be praised when you were deserted, when life was horrible. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned from me? Why I cry out day and night, but you do not hear my groaning. And that's what that psalm was for. It was written for that reason. And being raised as he was as a Jew, knowing the Bible, when his worst time in life came, when he was forsaken, that's when he cried out, why have you forsaken me? And, So there's a very significant sense in which he was all alone facing this horrible thing of paying for our sins. Yeah, he did it by the power of his spirit. Right? But, you know, the dove has to come down on him. Then he starts doing the miracle. Yeah, he didn't do the charismatic thing, right? If you like. Yeah. Yeah, to some degree, yeah. And this is not like a light switch, turn on, turn off, it's more or less, it's like a dimmer switch. Yeah. Everything's like, in fact, the binary switch is really a dimmer switch, it just moves quickly. There isn't such a thing as binary, it's all continuum, but it just moves quickly. Yeah. I guess by moving around of that. Not from church to church. No, not from church to church. But I mean in our worship and in our lives. And I would think that, you see, I got a lot of nods when I said this the other night, this morning. The one that we tend to ignore is Holy Spirit, so it would probably be a really good idea to spend some time there. But if you do that for a year or two, then move on. Okay? Men, you remember last night the spinning plate thing? Okay, that's what we're talking about here. It's not like you can. It's not like God the Father first, the Son second, and then the Holy Spirit third. Okay, that's one of the arguments we often use against charismatics, is that the Holy Spirit is really designed to honor Christ. We go, well, yeah, of course. But then you're supposed to honor God the Father too, and you got to honor the Holy Spirit, and the whole thing is supposed to be honored, crying out loud. So it's a matter of spinning the plates and doing one for a while and doing the other for a while, and Ed Sullivan this and Ed Sullivan that. And, you know, get off of this thing of trying to find out the perfect way to do it all the time. Because the deck of life is always shifting, balance can be nothing more than momentary. Right, Rick? You know that thing, don't you? Okay, again. Because the deck of life is always shifting, in other words, things don't ever stay the same, balance can only be momentary. In other words, do what's right now. Tomorrow, wake up and say, I wonder what's right to do today. And then what you find yourself doing is, rather than getting into the trench where you get deeper and deeper and deeper, you know what happens if you have one balance point and then the deck shifts and you keep the same balance point, what happens? Overboard. Right? You gotta get sea legs so you can move with the thing, okay? And that's what life is like, and I think this in some respects is that way. And obviously I'm emphasizing something partly because Rick and Wayne asked me to do it, okay, Holy Spirit. But also because I think it's what we need to start emphasizing. And I've tried to do it in a sort of Presbyterian way by doing it from the theology, okay? Rather than saying, try it, you'll like it. You know, if I were in a different church or in a more charismatic church, I wouldn't worry about the theology. I'd say, hey, give this a try. This really is great. Okay? And you all go, yeah, it is great. Let's do it some more, okay? But here you've got to sort of say, look, the great expectation of the Bible, of restoration, of salvation, is that the Spirit of God will come to you and live in you and make you new. And it's the deposit guaranteeing you're going to get the rest of it. So enjoy. Enjoy. Like an appetizer. Enjoy. You've been very kind to spend all this time. Some of you spent 5 hours here today. I can't believe it. Bless your heart. Don't you have a life? But I get, all right, heavenly rewards. You're going to get some heavenly rewards. Where's your husband today? Right. Well, I guess I get some heavenly rewards for that. Yeah, that's good. Now, let me pray for you, okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we've been talking about your Spirit who processes from you, comes to us as your gift. And we know we've only barely touched this, and we wish that we had days and days to try to work on this. But my prayer is that each one of us will remember how we only receive comfort and help and hope and power from Holy Spirit as we give our attention to Him. Help us, Lord, to learn your words about the wind, and to watch for the wind, and to enjoy the wind when it comes. Help us to look for you to move in our lives, and help us to rejoice when we see that happen, as the prophets rejoiced to see what was coming in the future. We love you, and we adore you for the fact that even though you went away and you left us down here on this earth, that you did not leave us alone. We love the fact that even though we have to wait a long time for the redemption of our bodies and for the glory that's ours, that you did not leave us alone. And we pray that you'll help us now to enjoy that and to delight in that in ways that we never have before. Amen. Have a good life.